You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making a...
It's just been 24 hours since the deadliest mass shooting in American history, and this morning, we know a lot more about the gunman, but little about his motive. 50 people dead, another 53 wounded after the authorities say 29-year-old Omar Mateen opened fire inside the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. FBI agents have descended on Mateen's home about 120 miles away in Fort Pierce, Florida, looking for anything that may explain why he carried out this attack. Sources tell NBC News' Pete Williams that before opening fire, Mateen called 911, pledged allegiance to ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, and mentioned the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. According to authorities, gunfire erupted inside the club just after 2 in the morning. A hostage situation unfolded, and by 5 a.m., police decide to go in, driving an armored vehicle through a wall. A gunfight then broke out between police and Mateen. Some of the audio of that exchange you can hear in this clip. During the gunfire, one bullet hit an officer, his Kevlar helmet likely saving his life. Mateen was killed in the exchange, and police say 30 people were rescued from the club. According to the ATF, Mateen bought the two guns used in the shooting just within the past week or so, a handgun and an AR-15-style rifle like you see here. Investigators say both firearms were purchased legally. Mateen's father posted a video to Facebook last night saying he is shocked and saddened by what his son has done. And here's what he tells NBC News this morning.
Was your son radicalized in any way that you know of?
No. No, he was taking care of his family, going to work. He doesn't have even a beard. He didn't miss his work. He was always on time. So I didn't see anything different that the way that he was behaving himself before, and until yesterday it was the same.
So where did he get these crazy ideas?
That's what I said. I wish he was alive. I could ask him that question. One question: why did he do it?
Now, obviously, Mika, that's what people across America are asking. Here's some of the headlines today: the Boston Globe talking about the massacre in Orlando, the Washington Post leads with the headline, 50 killed at a gay nightclub. The Wall Street Journal talks of a night of terror in Orlando. And the New York Times talks about a gunman praising ISIS. And you have, right next to me, let's move over here, you have the USA Today massacre. And then the Daily News talking about NRA, and obviously, Willie, a lot of issues, of course, came spewing out immediately after this from all sides ideologically. It's just as sick as usual. Give it a day. Let's mourn the victims and try to figure out what's going on. But a lot of fingers pointing, but of course, what everybody wants to know most of all is, why did this happen and how do we stop it from happening again?
Yeah, I was on the air yesterday all day, and it was almost immediate. People running to their battle stations, as you point out. You know, it became immediately, before anyone knew any facts, it was about this or it was about that, and here's why he did it. We don't know why he did it yet, except now that we've heard some of his claims. We know what he said about ISIS in that 911 phone call. Graham, you can speak to this better than I can. We're in an age now where you don't have to have any direct tie with ISIS. You can be inspired by ISIS. You can have a laptop or an iPhone and read something and feel some connection to ISIS, and then ISIS can retroactively claim that he was an ISIS fighter. So that's his claim, is that he did it in the name of ISIS and of radical Islam.
Yeah, I would even go a bit further. ISIS, in many ways, doesn't even want him to have a connection before the fact. They've said, at this point, you should just attack in place, where you are, when you can. And if you seek our approval in advance, then you're just exposing yourself to being foiled, your plot never coming to fruition. So they've told their supporters, just do it. Do it now. Don't bother coming here anymore. Mm.
All right, let's bring in NBC's Chris Jansing. She's in Orlando, Florida, with more on the investigation into the gunman. Chris, what more do we know about him?
You know, it's remarkable how quickly this profile of Omar Mateen emerged, that he was someone who was filled with hate, who was violent. Mateen's father told NBC News his son became enraged recently after he saw a same-sex couple kissing in Miami in front of his family. The FBI says it first became aware of the 29-year-old back in 2013. Now, he made threats to coworkers, including what an agency spokesman called, and I'm quoting here, possible ties to terrorist activities. And then the FBI looked at him again the following year because he contacted Abu Salah, an American who traveled to Syria to become a suicide bomber for al-Nusra. Abu Salah, who also lived in Fort Pierce, was the first American to carry out a suicide attack in Syria. U.S. officials say he tried to recruit some of his friends to fight in Syria, and then when he got back to his hometown back in 2013. One of them actually did alert the FBI, but by then, Abu Salah had already left the U.S. Now, at the time, the FBI decided that Mateen's contact with Abu Salah was minimal. They didn't feel it posed any kind of a real threat. Law enforcement officials have told NBC News there's no indication Mateen was in touch with terrorists overseas or that the attack was directed by someone else to the point of what you guys were talking about. So meanwhile, we're also hearing from Mateen's ex-wife. She talked to the press yesterday and she described her former husband as unsound, claiming he was physically abusive and had in the past taken steroids and that she actually left all of her belongings behind to escape their life together.
Instability, emotional instability, sickness, mentally, he was mentally unstable and mentally ill. That's the only explanation that I could give, and he was obviously disturbed. When he would get in his tempers, he would express hate towards things, toward everything. So in that respect, you know, yeah. But it was at the moment when you would see his emotional instability and turning totally different.
And meantime, we have these portraits of the victims emerging from 20 to 50 years old, and I think one of the most heart-rending stories of the text messages that went back and forth between a son who was trapped in a bathroom and his mother, and then he went radio silent, and sadly we learned this morning that that son, Eddie Justice, was among the victims. Willie?
Oh, that was one of the earliest stories we saw and one of the earliest sound bites we have that will be seared in my memory forever, the Eddie's mother screaming, looking for her son. Chris Jansing in Orlando. We'll be checking back with you throughout the morning. Thanks.
Hey there, I'm Chris Hayes from MSNBC. Thanks for watching MSNBC on YouTube. If you want to keep up to date with the videos we're putting out, you can click subscribe just below me or click over on this list to see lots of other great videos.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was a clip of the things that have taken place in Orlando. It's a tragic, it's a total tragic. And this is George Wilder Jr., and you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's a somber moment for all of us. We have to pray for those folks, gay or not gay, black or not black, Hispanic or not Hispanic, Muslim or not Muslim. We have to pray for those people who have perished. And we want to thank all the doctors, medical physicians, and medical nurses, and all of this medical the hospital that these people who were gunned down, these innocent people who were gunned down mercifully in this nightclub in Orlando, Florida, called The Pulse. And we want to thank all of those medical people, the medical staff and everybody there for their due diligence in saving lives, saving many, many lives that could have been lost. And the count would have been higher if it wasn't for these brave and wonderful people on this medical staff at this particular hospital. And we want to thank even the law enforcement. We want to thank those people, too, for finally getting enough nerve and enough balls to storm this place and to take this guy out if he did not shoot himself. Whether the police shot him or he shot himself, he deserves what he's got. All right. I still want to apologize for some of the problems, technical difficulties we may have on the show today. So stay tuned for that because Chicago is expecting, we are expecting a lot of bad weather, according to weather reports in this city. And, I mean, it's been bad all over the United States. However, we've had some wonderful weather in the city of Chicago. I guess this is just what, springtime? And basically, we've been having summertime weather and springtime. It's just weird, folks. It's just weird. And I want to say it's hard to try to talk about anything else because this tragic in Orlando and even the night before the tragic, it was this young singer from The Voice was shot to death in front of her brother, you know, and we're just hearing another Paris lone terrorist. So terrorists, I mean, this is happening too much, too soon, and all over the place. And Donald Trump is out there blaming Obama for this and that. I use the term radical Islam. Why? Why does he have to use, believe me, I'm not a big fan of Obama, but why does he have to use the term? I mean, a lot of the right-wing GOP talk show hosts, television show hosts, talking heads, as some of them call them, are saying Obama did not use radical Islam. This is crazy. I mean, using those two words, what will they change? I'm with Hillary Clinton. What will they change? This was a terrorist attack. Whether you say terrorist or radical Islam, basically to me, it just may mean the same thing. Radical Islam to me means that you're actually blaming the entire Muslim nation for what's taking place during some of these terrorist attacks that are perpetrated by Muslims. And he's double downing on his ban of gays. I mean, not gays, but Muslims. He's wanting to ban gays. He's saying temporarily, but knowing Donald Trump, what Donald Trump says and says the next day is irrelevant, okay? Because this guy lied through his teeth. He changes his mind as you look at him. He doesn't really know what the hell he's talking about. He's reading from a teleprompter that he blasts other politicians when they're reading from a teleprompter. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't, somebody is feeding him information because Donald Trump don't know the first thing about foreign policy. Obviously, he's got, like I said before, he has people around him who are feeding him and teaching him and showing him and telling him what to say each and every day. But Donald Trump goes off on his own tirade. He goes off on his own tirade. And okay, all right, President Obama is he's pissed off. He's hammering Trump, and he's saying, where does this stop? And he's talking about the dangerous rhetoric that's coming from Donald Trump and Donald Trump's camp. Obama excoriates Republican obsession with the term radical Islam. Yeah, a Republican obsession. They want him, even you can't say that. For some reason, you can't say that. And we're all saying, what the hell difference? Radical Islam, you're condemning a whole nation of people, and a lot of Muslims are great, great people, wonderful people, you know. But you know, to ban them, I think is wrong, because if you ban Muslims, completely ban them, the nation of Islam, the Muslim nation, the first thing that these guys are going to say. Them thinking and saying that would probably cause more terrorist attacks on America. But I do condemn Obama and the FBI for having this guy in their possession. He was on the watch list for what, 10 months, a year, twice, and they let this guy go. That's my problem. They had him. I'm not blaming Obama. Somebody has to admit a mistake here, but nobody's willing to admit that. You had the guy, and the FBI is all over the television. The head of the FBI, the director, he's all over the television trying to defend their decision in letting this guy, the terrorist, the shooter in Orlando, the killer, defend their the way they handled the case. And I just don't see it. I mean, you know, I just don't see it. You had this guy in your midst. You were watching him. But suddenly he can go buy all of these weapons, high-powered weapons, and come back and just shoot up a bunch of gay people. They're not gay people to me. They're people. They're Americans. You know, and then to say that you're justified in letting this guy slip off the radar, this is crazy. This is screwed up. I've had a lot of people on social media disagree with me. They're saying that you're blaming Obama. I'm not blaming Obama. I'm blaming the people who work under Obama. They blew it. And then there's some people who are saying, well, if the FBI blew it, and the FBI is actually working for, these people are actually working for Obama, so Obama takes the blame. They blew it. The FBI blew it. And they're trying to save face. There is no saving face here. 49 people are dead, including the gunman, which equals 50, 54. I think 53, 54 people were injured in this. This is crazy. And I've talked about this yesterday on the show before we had the technical difficulties. And I still do apologize for that. But this is crazy. All right. We have here Obama excoriates Republican obsession with the term radical Islam, you know. And President Obama on Tuesday forcibly revoked Republicans who have berated him. I mean, they have actually, they have knocked him over the head for this, for refusing to characterize the lone wolf terror attacks by Muslims individuals as acts of radical Islam. All right, speaking from the Treasury Department 2 days ago, after the Muslim man shot 49 people to death at a gay bar nightclub in Orlando after declaring his allegiance to the self-described Islamic State group, which is ISIS, the president challenged his detractors, which are the Republicans, GOP, to identify a single tangible benefit of adjusting his choice of words to describe the attack. They couldn't do that. The Republicans are such idiots. They can't do that. Most of them are. I can't lump every Republican in the same barrel as some idiots, especially the number one idiot, which I think is Donald Trump. Quote, what exactly would, quote, I'm quoting the president here, what exactly would using the label accomplish? What exactly would it change? Would it make ISIL less committed to try to kill Americans? Would it bring in more allies? Is there a military strategy that is served by this? The answer is none of the above. Calling a threat by a different name does not make it go away. But you know what? The Republicans are just trying to jump on Obama and blame him for the entire event. No, I don't think that. I don't think Obama should be blamed for this. I think not having gun reform should be blamed for this. Gun control should be blamed for this. Nobody... background checks, not having background checks when people buy a gun is blamed for this. The FBI is blamed for this particular incident in Orlando because they took their eye off the ball. They blew this. So we have to keep those people in our prayers. I'm not gay. I've said as many times. I don't condone their lifestyle. But I've had many, many friends who were gay, and they were some of the nicest people that I've ever met. They were some of the greatest people. They helped me to get things done. I helped them to get things done. They were some of the nicest people I've ever met. And I've even had people tell me that they have gay friends and that they say that gay friends are some of the best friends you can ever have. We're not talking about sex or anything like that. We're just talking about people in general, their generosity. You know, the way they joke, they laugh, they like to have fun. You know, this is what I'm talking about. You know, and to me, they're not gay people. They're just a group of people who are having fun at a nightclub. All of a sudden, they start dropping. And I do condemn the authorities for waiting 2 or 3 hours to storm the place, because if they'd have gone in soon as they arrived on scene, we might have had a lot more people alive. There might be a lot more people might have been saved. They may not have bled to death, you know. So I do think the authorities have to answer for that. Now, why it took them so damn long to go in. But, you know, these guys are going to have – they're going to spin it away. They're going to try to justify what they did, and which there is no justification. Just like the FBI, they're going around the nation trying to explain themselves why they let this guy slip out from under their radar, because they feel that they felt at that time there was nothing else they could do. There was no threat. But then it slipped by them, and now they're trying to – tie his wife. I'm not going to mention the killer's name, because I don't want to give him any notoriety. I don't want to give him any publicity, but we all know who he is. We all know his name, but I will not, like yesterday, I will not mention it on this show because he's a killer, you know. But now the FBI is looking at his wife. They're saying his wife may have been an accomplice. And they're also saying that his wife told them that she tried to talk him out of this massacre. And the FBI is saying, you know, why didn't you come to us and tell us that? Which makes sense. So this is still unfolding as I'm, you know, talking about this. And it's something else, folks. And usually my show, the George Wilder Jr. Show, is a show that's bright and funny, wild and crazy at some point in time. But I guess for the next day or so, we're going to be talking about this, because there's going to be a lot more coming out of this in the next few days, maybe the next week, maybe even the next month or year. I mean, this is going to be because this is one of the worst tragedies. And I totally agree. This is one of the worst tragedies in U.S. history. But they are actually saying this is worse than 9/11. I don't know. There was more people killed in 9/11. You know, but they're calling it the worst tragedy. Maybe they're saying the worst shooting tragedy in U.S. history. And that I totally agree. I totally agree. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me all over the place. It's just awful, folks. And I'm broadcasting live from Chicago, out of Chicago, and they're saying we're going to have a lot of some bad weather coming, and it does look like that from my studio window here. I'm on the north side of Chicago, and I'm near the lake. Actually, we're just about right on the lake here. So anytime there's bad weather, I think – I'm not a weather person. I'm not a meteorologist, but it just seems to me that being on the north side of Chicago near the lake, you're going to kind of get the worst blunt of the weather. But – you gotta look at it this way. A lot of these meteorologists and weather people are dead wrong. You know, the United States and the weather industry, they have yet to get it right, like some of the other countries. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we are talking about the tragic in Orlando. We will be right back, folks. All right, welcome back to the show, folks, WTTY. It's just about 4 minutes before 6:30 p.m. in Chicago, and it looks menacing. It looks like we're going to get some really, really bad weather. I'm just hoping it doesn't interrupt the show, this episode of the show. If it does, we're going to keep going no matter what. Okay, Democrats see an opening on gun legislation. Hopefully they will, they do, but the Republicans probably will not. Something has to be done about guns. But every time you talk about guns, background checks, or taking away guns from those who should not have them, you get a lot of blowback from people. I mean, you get a lot of blowback. The NRA, you get a lot of blowback. Their motto is guns don't shoot people, people shoot people using guns. However, guns are too easily to be gotten, because one of the things is guns, it's legal to carry a gun in every state as long as you have proper credentials. It's legal. I mean, you walk down the street, I mean, in any town, in any city, in any state, people are carrying guns. They're concealed, but they are carrying guns. They're carrying some sort of weapon. It could be a knife. It could be mace. It could be pepper spray, a gun. People are afraid. They are afraid. They want to protect themselves, you know, because this is a dangerous time. Bad guys should not be able to get guns so easily. Easily. Especially after being on an FBI watch list for 10 months. He should have been flagged, you know. And, you know, so you don't want to blame I blame the FBI. Just like I said at the beginning of the show, I think the FBI blew this. They blew this one big time. There is no way they can try to explain themselves out of this. But the Democrats see an opening on gun control. And Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and all the leaders in Congress, Democratic leaders, they are very, very saddened by this. I mean, Republicans are saddened by this. Everybody is saddened by this. This is an American tragedy. But you have people out there, religions, preachers, ministers, pastors, you know, saying that these gay people, these 49 dead gay people in this lounge, the Pulse Lounge in Orlando, Florida, deserve what they got. I've heard them called pedophiles. I've heard them called the worst names in the world by preachers, people, other religions. They're quoting some scripture from the Bible, you know, and it's wrong. It's wrong that some of these religions, if not most of them, maybe all of them, because all of them are Bible-based, and this is in the Bible, they're saying gay people got what they deserved, and they all should die. They all should be dead. You know, I have a clip. I'm going to play it later. It's unreal, folks, that some of these religions. Jesus wasn't about this. I'm pretty sure if Jesus probably would have forgiven gay people just like he, you know, cleansed the sins of straight people. And this is horrible. Here's that clip, folks. This is a preacher, one of many, one of 100, one of 1,000 in America who thinks like this. All right, we got it? All right. Is there anything wrong with that?
Joe Biggs is out in front of the nightclub.
Okay, that's
50 plus people were killed last night. Joe Biggs,
that's not
great job getting up early this morning.
It's just been 24 hours since the deadliest mass shooting in American history, and this morning.
Hey, everybody. Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faith Forward Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to record a quick video about the news this morning about the shooting in Orlando. I guess a Muslim terrorist went into a gay bar and shot him up, and there's 50 sodomites, homosexuals, that have been killed, and another 50 some odd injured, and then the Muslim guy himself was shot by the police, it sounds like. And here's the good news and the bad news about this. You know, the good news is that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world, because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who was a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is that this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control, where, you know, law-abiding normal Americans are not going to be allowed to have guns for self-defense. And then I'm sure it's also going to be used to push an agenda against so-called hate speech. So Bible-believing Christian preachers who preach what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that they're reprobates, you know, we're going to be blamed. Like, oh, it's all extremism. It's not just the Muslims, it's the Christians. I'm sure that that's coming. I'm sure that people are going to start attacking, you know, Bible-believing Christians now because of what this guy did. Now, let me just be real clear. I've never advocated for violence. I don't believe in, you know, taking the law into our own hands.
You're doing it now.
I would never go in and you know, shoot up a gay bar, so-called. I don't believe it's right for us to just be a vigilante. We're supposed to obey the law of the land and obey the powers that be. So I would never take things into my own hands or become a vigilante. But I will say this, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place, because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway, but they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have, you know, tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed. Because in Leviticus 20:13, God's perfect law, he put the death penalty on murder, and he also put the death penalty on homosexuality. That's what the Bible says, plain and simple. And you know, the good news is that at least 50 of these pedophiles are not going to be harming children anymore. The bad news is that a lot of the homos in the bar are still alive, so they're going to continue to molest children and recruit people into their filthy homosexual lifestyle. And then the other bad news is that this is going to now be used as propaganda, not only against Muslims, but also against Christians. And of course, Islam is a wicked religion. Of course, it's a disgusting religion.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. Yeah, Democrats are all up in arms about gun control, okay? With the nation's reeling from the Orlando, Florida shooting, Democrats are giving Republicans a preview of one issue they intend to bring up in November: guns. November 2016, guns. But since there's no doubt about it, if the Republicans continue to hold Congress, this is not going to get through. This is going to be another try at something that's not going to happen, because you got the powerful NI, the powerful lobbyists of the NRA standing in the way. House Democrats used a routine procedure motion on Tuesday to send a message on the issue, calling for a vote on a bill written by Republican Representative Peter King of New York that would prohibit people on the terrorist watch list from buying firearms. And while Republicans had no problem voting against the party line motion, there are clear signs that the Democrats, see an opportunity on gun legislation, and Republicans see a thorny election year issue. Well, they should. If this is true, if this is not more conjecture, it should be something done about this. It's here to stay. It's here. People are going to hate for the sake of hating. And you have to realize another thing is that this is not over. This is not. There's going to be plenty of copycats. There's going to be plenty more of this. While Donald Trump is calling for a ban on Muslims into the United States, what about the Muslims that are already here? The Muslims that are already here, well, if they sense that America hates Muslims, the Muslims that are already here are going to start attacking America. They don't have to fly over here on a plane. They don't have to catch a train. They don't have to come across the border. They're already here. And I've said this many times on this show, that no matter how much you try to ban Muslims, stop Muslims from coming in, or any group, they're already here. Just like this guy, whatever his name was, I'm not going to mention on the show. He was born in America to Muslim parents. He was radicalized on the internet. He was in love with ISIS. While he was inside of the bar getting ready to shoot, or in between shootings, he called 911 and pledged allegiance to ISIS. The point here is that I think America failed in its effort to protect the American people. Because, you know, if you look at it, there's been a plenty of terrorist attack before Orlando in the United States. And you would have thought America would have learned something from that. America would have been ready for any terrorist attack. That's what they were telling us before Orlando, that they were ready for it, especially after the San Bernardino attack and then the Paris attack. We thought America was ready for it. You kept hearing officials from Homeland Security. They got their faces on television and saying, hey, America's safe. We've got this. We've got the airports. We got everything. We got this. We got that. America is safe from terrorism. We're going to make sure of that. So, you know, all of a sudden we find out that we're not safe from terrorism. The people at Homeland Security were talking through their asses. We were not safe. Obama even got on television after the Paris attack and San Bernardino terrorist attacks, and in so many ways he was saying the same thing. America, there's no viable threat in America for terrorist attack. If there is, we're dead on it. Apparently, that wasn't true either because of the Orlando. Figuratively speaking, we were caught with our pants down. And it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. And I don't want to say that, keep saying that, and somebody hear this show and decide to do something. But, you know, they're going to be copycats. They're going to be copycats. They're going to be people. Groups hate gays. They can't stand them. You know, the hate is, and it's not going away. It's here. You know, it's here. It's in the Bible. You're going to have more and more Christian churches, Baptist preachers, religions dimming gays, demonizing gay people, because it's in the Bible. And they are Bible thumpers. They believe in the Bible. So the hate is not over. The hate is always going to be here, whether it's against gays,
Hispanics, African Americans. It's here. It's here. And folks, we are not protected. I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm just here to state the reality. I would never scare anybody because I'm like Obama. You cannot live in fear. Do not be afraid to step out of the house, to go to the store, or drive to your cousin's house or whatever. Live your life. Because like the president says, that's what the terrorists want you and me to do. They want us to be afraid. These ISIS killers, they want to conquer the world. And as I've stated many times, and I will state again, the terrorists are already here in America. I've said this many times, months and months, many shows back, for months and months, that the terrorists are already here. And it came true a few days ago with this Orlando attack. They're already here, ingrown terrorism. That's the problem. America has to figure out how to stop and eliminate ingrown terrorism. That means people who are already in the U.S., the United States, who are capable of being radicalized right there in front of their laptop computer or their phone, because that's where it's happening at. And there is, I'm going to say this again, there is no way this guy should have been able to buy a gun after being on the FBI watch list for 10 months. For 10 months. Whether his wife had something to do with this, I don't know. There's more to come out. From my understanding, she is not being arrested. There's been no charges filed against her as I speak. You know, but there may be something coming down the line saying that she, you know, was an innocent victim in all of this. Or maybe she'll be charged as a co-conspirator. Who knows? Who knows? But the FBI feel like they've got something new, and they're going to stay on this. They're going to stay on this. Okay, the no-fly legislation, as Democrats have dubbed it, is itself a controversial bill. Critics say that it would deny the due process rights to people placed on the terrorist watch list, which are famously loose as who is included. So basically what they're saying, folks, is come November 2016, this is going to be a hot budget campaign topic, gun legislation. I mean, we've been, every time there's a terrorist attack, a horrendous terrorist attack, we go back to the same thing, talking about gun control. It's all about talking about gun control. And that's all the hell it is. It's just talk. Nobody does anything. There's no voting. There's no nothing. It's just talk, because the Republicans and the powerful lobbyists in Congress, the gun lobby, they don't want this. They don't want this. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back, folks. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. I'm telling the world.
ever destroy. You pick me up.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
Yeah, we have a slogan for this show, at least I have a slogan for this show called Making the World a Better Place One Show at a Time, and that's what we're trying to do. And it's going to be rough, folks. As you can probably tell, it's going to be tough trying to make the world a better place when it just seems to be going down the damn tubes. And this is crazy. And I'm going to stay on this Orlando thing because, you know, everybody else is. And we have to try to convince people not to hate people because of what they are. You know, that's not right. It's just not right. And like I said before, I'm not gay, and I do not condone their lifestyle, but they're people, they're Americans, they were nice, I've had friends who were gay, and I've known people who said the same thing, that they had friends that are gay, and they're some of the nicest people they're around. These people were innocent. They were just enjoying themselves at a gay nightclub, and this guy... this asshole came in and just started mowing down people. And when the authorities came on the scene, they waited 2 or 3 hours before they went in. And this guy had shot everybody to hell. And you wonder, I think the authorities in Orlando, as I've said before, early on into the show, they should be questioned about that. This should not be blown under the rug. Why did it take you so long? I mean, SWAT? Why did it take them so long to go in? Who gave an order not to go in for that duration of time? Something should be done. And I think the FBI should be put on the hot seat also. Why did they? I do think that Hillary Clinton feels the same way that I do, because she was on a video saying something like, why was he able to buy guns after being on FBI terrorist watch list? And these two issues, I think, should be brought to the forefront so we can get to the bottom of this, so this doesn't happen again. You know, this doesn't happen again. I think when you have a professionals like SWAT, they should go in immediately. To stop more carnage, to save more lives. By the authorities in Orlando, Florida, taking 2 or 3 hours, a lot of people bled to death on the floor. If they would have gotten to them, they could have got them out to ambulance and taken this guy out a lot sooner, a lot earlier. But like I said, folks, a lot more is going to come out in the coming days, and we're going to have all that for you. On the George Wilder Jr. Show, Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to still say this. My slogan on this show is making the world a better place, one show at a time. And this is the talk of our times. You know, it's a sad time, but it's the talk of our times, and we're still trying to make the world a better place. However, if you want to make the world a better place, I'm thinking of this Michael Jackson song, Man in the Mirror. If you want to make the world a better place, turn around and look in the mirror. It takes you to make the world a better place. It takes all of us. I can't do it alone. 2 or 3 people cannot do it. We have to have a mass of people willing to want to make the world a better place. We cannot make the world a better place laying on the couch watching television doing nothing. You have to put some effort in it. You cannot make a world a better place by keeping your mouth shut, staying silent, doing nothing, saying nothing. You cannot make the world a better place hoping that someone else will make a make the world a better place and that you will benefit. You can't do that. You can't be sedentary. You have to put some action behind what you want to do, because there's too many people out here sitting around hoping that others do the fighting for them. You have to do your own fighting. Do your own fighting. We are out here to make the world a better place, but we cannot do it by ourselves. We know that from Orlando, because people out here are going to continue to hate. If we can get to people before they decide to commit an awful atrocity, that will be beneficial. That would be a positive step ahead. So my thing here is to help make the world a better place. Will there still be hate? Of course. Will people still die senselessly? Sadly, yes. Because this is the kind of world that we're living in. But however, if we can save one person from being shot and killed senselessly, then we've done our job. And doing our job in that sense will motivate us to want to do more. You know, so we're out here to make the world a better place. And I know some people probably grinning at that, but it's true. You got, when you have 49 people die senselessly by someone who's just hate. It's going to be here. And hate is going to be nurtured by those who we think should not be hating in the first place. Our churches, our synagogues, our mosques. You know, it's just crazy. A church is the one place that you would not expect to see and hear hate. Not from a minister, not from a preacher, a Baptist preacher, a Christian, but we do. It's there. You may go to church this Sunday, or maybe you've gone to church last Sunday, and somehow your preacher, your pastor will say or has says that gay people should be annihilated because there's a quote or something in the Bible that says that. And that's wrong. A passage in the Bible or a quote in the Bible. I don't care what's in the Bible. If it's talking about killing people, I'm not for it. Kind people, wonderful people, people who are into themselves, people who are into whatever they're doing. I've said this before. It doesn't matter what group of people could have gotten killed in Orlando. It's wrong, regardless of what a Bible says. However, like I said, this is just the George Wilder Jr. Show, okay? And we need more people to think that way and to put some action behind that kind of thinking. Or it's useless. Making the world a better place would be useless. We don't want it to be useless. We want to get some traction out of it. You know, and it's just awful. It is just awful. This Orlando shooting, you know, you get emotional kind of. And all right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let's see what we got. Bingo.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, they're saying, do not let Donald Trump get away with this sick lie about Orlando, the Orlando, Florida shooting. Okay, presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. This guy is crazy. What can I say, folks? This guy has gone off the deep end. He's nutty. He should be nowhere near the White House at all. He's a fool. He's not knowledgeable of foreign policy. He's not knowledgeable of American policy, for all I know. And he is just not presidential. I mean, if you look at his rallies, if you're there, he just goes. He looks like a wild man up there, yelling and screaming, and those spits coming out of his mouth every time he talks. He's just not presidential, and he's making himself look totally, totally bad. And some of the Republicans, if not all of them, they dismiss him. They disown him. They disagree with a lot of the things that he says, but yet they are going to support him. That doesn't make sense. How can you support somebody that you do not agree with? Why? Because he is the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. You know, but I've heard some Republicans say they can't stand Donald Trump to the point where they're going to vote for Hillary. And I'm just hearing that Hillary has widened her national lead over Donald Trump. That's a good thing. Like I said before, I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. But however, Bernie Sanders doesn't seem as if he's going to get the nomination. So we have to go with Hillary. And I will suggest that everybody gets behind Hillary, because you've got some Republicans that are about to get behind Hillary. And I'm pretty sure there are going to be a whole slew of Bernie Sanders supporters now are going to be getting behind Hillary, simply because we cannot, must not, will not have crazy Donald Trump running, being president, running and being president of the United States. He will, it's going, if, let's say, excuse me, let's say if Donald Trump becomes president, it's going to be all hell. We're going to have wars. This guy is going to, we're going to have wars. It's going to be, there's going to be more hatred. And you talk about Hitler. We're going to have another Hitler. I don't want to scare anybody, but I'm just trying to be real about it. I mean, reality is hell. And Donald Trump becoming president, it's going to be something. And I don't think he's going to be president, because I think every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, he loses a supporter here or there. And he opens his mouth, and whatever comes out, he's reading a teleprompter, folks. I've said this earlier into the show. He's reading, most of his speeches are teleprompted, because he sounds a little bit more educated once he reads a teleprompter. But take that teleprompter away, I mean, he sounds like a street thug from 63rd. And, you know, all righty. Okay, presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump wasted no time turning Sunday's mass shootings in Orlando, Florida, into a campaign issue, which it should not be. This should he should not try to turn this tragedy into a political issue. That should not be happening. But Donald Trump is, and he's blasting Obama. He's saying that this is blaming Obama, and this is crazy. Using the tragedy to push for a crackdown on Muslims, both at home and abroad. So he's cracking, he wants to crack down on Muslims entering the U.S., and he wants to crack down on Muslims who are already in the United States. Therefore, he's going to be, you know, keeping a close watch on a lot of these mosques, Muslim mosques, where they go worship, that are in the United States. Wow. As a part of that mission, okay, let me try that again. As part of that mission, Trump is working to portray gunman Omar Mateen, that's the gunman in the Orlando, Florida shooting of the gay nightclub called Pulse, as an immigrant, a refugee, and a foreign menace. The guy, how could he do that? The guy was born in the United States. Okay, Trump is saying Mateen, the gunman, never would have been in the United States, Trump argues, if we had listened to him and enacted a ban on all, if we had listened to Donald Trump in enacting a ban on all Muslims entering the country. But that's a lie. That's a damn lie. The guy was born on, that's a total lie. Listen to him and enacted a ban on all Muslims entering the United States. This was, I mean, I guess he would have stopped his parents from coming into the United States, because the killer's parents, they're Muslims, okay? If we had to listen to Donald Trump, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, he would have stopped the ban. He would have banned Muslims from the United States, and their parents would have not, and his parents, the guy's parents, would have not entered the United States, so therefore the mother would have not gotten pregnant and had a killer. Address on Monday, Trump even said, seemingly in error, that the shooter was born in Afghanistan, short for Afghanistan, a statement that makes such little sense that it wasn't technically a lie, but his intention is clear. The guy was not born in Afghanistan. He is an American citizen of Muslim parents who were born in Afghanistan or Afghan. Donald Trump is off the rails. There is no doubt about it. He is off the rails. He is kind of, the guy is kind of flying high because he feels that he's been reborn, sort of, because, you know, because he said that if he would have enacted a ban on Muslims, this wouldn't happen. You know, and he wants to enact a temporary ban. Donald Trump does not want a temporary ban. He wants a permanent ban on Muslims. He hates Muslims. He can't stand them. He just can't stand Muslims. There's no doubt about that. You know, he's very hateful. And I think he's a racist. I don't think he likes blacks, actually, because there's hardly any blacks that attend his rallies. There might be one here or one there. His African-American, as he stated one day, oh, there's my African-American right over there. Now, to me and a lot of other blacks, we found that racist. There's my, you might as well said, hey, there's my nigga. That's my nigga right over there. You know, to us, that was racist. You know, but Donald Trump, when he said that, I don't think he said it as a racist. It's just something that just came out of his damn mouth. But a lot of us looked at it as being racist. Donald Trump has no etiquette. He has no morals. He just runs the hell off at the mouth. Okay? And I'm hearing that he's being sued. There's about 3,000 lawsuits up his ass. Now, and the Republicans are ignoring that. If that was a Democrat who had all those lawsuits up their ass and was running for president, they'd be calling for that Democrat to get out of the race. But nobody's calling for Donald Trump to get out of the race. Actually, I hope Donald Trump stay in the race, because I want to see his ass get beat badly by Hillary Clinton. And that's what I want to see. I want to see him get his ass handed to him by Hillary Clinton. And I want to see a lot of Hillary Clinton voters. I want to that's going to vote for her. I want to see a lot of Bernie Sanders voters that's going to vote for Hillary. And I'm cringing at the thought that Republican voters will be voting for Hillary. And like I just stated, she is leading in the national polls. She was once tied with him, or he was once ahead by a few points, but she's out there now widening her lead over him. So I would love for Donald Trump to stay in the race so he can get his ass whooped by a woman who he has abused in the past. You know, because he is really, really a guy who likes to abuse women. There is no doubt about it. Most of the time, verbally. And I want to mention this. Donald Trump, I think a day or so ago, turned 70 years old. Yeah, he's 70. I didn't know that. I thought the man was in his 60s or something. He's in good shape. He doesn't look 70. Maybe that's the makeup that he's wearing. I don't know. He's in good shape. He looks great, but his brain is just twisted. Something's wrong up there. You know, that's the same thing I tell my son. I said, boy, there's something wrong up there. You know. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm having a great time, folks. And this show is just like yesterday's show. Is dedicated to the tragedy in Orlando. You know, I'm not going to even say call in or a guest or anything on the show. This show is dedicated to the people of Orlando. You know, we are actually in a somber mood here. So therefore, I mean, if you want to call in, you can call in tomorrow or the following day. I canceled the guest for today because I wanted to make this show about Orlando. And I feel like I got a lot to say about this. And most of the stuff that I'm saying on the show, you probably heard, but if you haven't, then you probably learned something by listening to me on this show. And I thank you for that. And I also want to thank people who have said great things about the show, great things about me. Doing the show, I'd like to thank all those folks out there who bought or purchased a book and who have given me high ratings for some of my writings. I want to thank you for that. And it's all good. It's virtually all good. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me right here. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I did say yesterday that Facebook is buying LinkedIn. Wow. Facebook and Microsoft, I mean, they are buying up stock on the internet like crazy. You know, we're all going to be indebted to those folks, right? Because they have the money and we are trying to get the money, right? Yeah. Alrighty, broadcasting live from Chicago. Well, then it's live now, but it will be podcasted and you can download it and listen to the show for later. Like I said, again, no show, no guests today, no calls, folks. We're dedicating this entire show, Tragic in Orlando, to the people and the victims and the parents, cousins, nephews, family of those who died senselessly in Orlando, Florida, by an ISIS wannabe. I mean, it's just crazy. You got people, they're still talking about it. As I see on my monitor, there is an Orlando aftermath, more questions than answers about the shooter. People are coming from all over the world to pay their respects to the dead. Gay people all over the world are paying their respects to the dead. excuse me. And a lot of the gay people are still worried about violence against them. I know in Chicago, I believe in Chicago this weekend, there's going to be a gay pride parade. I mean, I think they give it every year on the north side, a gay pride There's nothing but gay people. But now some of those folks are scared to death of the violence that could happen to them during this parade. But however, the police officers, Chicago police, they're stepping up patrols for this, and the parade will go on, okay? And it's a gay parade, and it happens every year. I'm pretty sure around the country, the pride parade goes on all around the country. But like I said earlier in the show, the gay people, just people in general, still have to watch their backs, because there's so many people out here that actually still hate gay people, and they're still out to hurt gay people. And gay people know this. No matter how much the police give them protection, no matter how much politicians may tell them, continue to live your life, do not be afraid. A lot of them are afraid, and I don't blame them, because the hate of gays is rampant. The hate for Muslims is rampant. And there will be copycats. There will be another terrorist attack. There's no doubt about that. I don't want to say that. I'm not wishing there's a terrorist attack. I'm not trying to scare anybody of a terrorist attack. All I'm saying is be vigilant when you're walking down the street. Get your face out of your phone. Pay attention to where you're going. Pay attention to your surroundings. But live your life. Do not live your life afraid. Because if you live your life afraid, you're not living your life. But always be vigilant. You know, take your phone. I mean, so many people, you know, I know you've seen them. You've seen them. Even my son, he walks down the street sometimes with his face down into his phone, and he's crossing the street. You know, I said, man, put that phone down and look where you're going, you know. So, but he's not the only one. There's millions of young people around the United States. They're walking down the street with their face in the phone. They're on the subway, and sometimes, in some cases, they're in their cars. You have to be vigilant. This is a dangerous world. The world is not safe. I hate to say that, but it's true. This world is not safe. You have to be vigilant. You never know what's going to come around the corner. You know, you never know. You know, so this show is dedicated to those folks in Orlando. Maybe tomorrow's show will be dedicated also. Depends on what comes out. Depends on the reports that come out, you know, because if I think about it, I have a Muslim mosque about two blocks from where I live. And all around here are Muslims. Muslims are all over the place this is a diverse community where I live in, you know. I mean, you got Hispanics, you got Muslims, you got Indians, you got African-Americans, you got white folks, you got – it's just totally, totally diverse, and that's what I loved about it, and that's why, you know, we chose this area of the city, because it's so diverse, and we are people of diversity, you know. So even that mosque two blocks away from me is being watched, patrolled, you know, by security officers, police officers, because of the threat. A lot of these Muslim mosques around the country, they're getting threats every day, you know, and a lot of these people who attend these mosques, they're good people. They're great people. They're not bad people. I mean, the Muslim leadership in the United States, they are always on television saying that ISIS do not represent us. These guys who go around doing these mass killings who are Muslims, they do not represent our faith. They do not represent our country. So please don't lump us all in the same basket and hate us. I understand what they're saying, but a lot of people do not. A lot of people do not care. A lot of people see Muslim and that's it. And they start to hate. And I agree with President Obama. I don't think all Muslims should be banned from the United States, because if that's the case, there's going to be more carnage, more terrorist attack, because Muslims going to feel that America hates Muslims, and the Muslims that are here in America, they're going to be arming for more attacks. So I do think that Donald Trump is sending out a bad precedent for this. He's telling Muslims that the United States hate Muslims, and the president is trying to counteract what he's saying, is that do not do that, Donald Trump. This is what Donald Trump is about. This is the guy who has violence at every rally that he gives. If he becomes president, it's going to be the same thing. There's going to be violence in all 50 states. If they're at his rallies, they're going to be in all 50 states. We're going to be at war with every country there is. So we cannot have this guy. And it's not funny. It's true. Because a lot of the foreign leaders, a lot of the leaders from other countries, they can't stand Donald Trump. They're calling him dumb and stupid. I'm using their words. And obviously, they don't think he's fit for office. And they don't want to work with him because they feel that they may have to go to war with the United States if this guy is elected. So it's imperative that we do not let this guy in office. It's imperative that we get behind Hillary Clinton. You know, Bernie, I love Bernie. I supported Bernie, but he's not going to get it. So we have to move on. We have to move on because this is a dangerous time. We have to be vigilant. We have to be strong, but we don't have to be afraid. We do not have to be afraid. Let's not be afraid. And let's stop hating. Let's stop bitching. Let's stop arguing. Let's stop hurting each other. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, folks. And I am really, really, you know, passionate about a lot of this. A lot of what I'm talking about. So therefore, if you didn't, this show, there's no calls. Please don't call in. We're trying to have respect for all of those killed and hurt and wounded in Orlando, Florida. So please don't call in. So there will be no guest on the show today. There may not be a guest tomorrow because we are going to stand with those folks in Orlando, Florida. I know there's a lot of people out there laughing, think this is funny because they have no morals, but I do know there's a lot of people out there who are very understanding people who are themselves standing with the people and the victims of Orlando, Florida, and not the gunman. I tried not to mention his name on the show, but I'm pretty sure I made that mistake, but he won't be mentioned again. But most Americans and the authorities, they know who they are. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a great day, folks. It's been wonderful. Let's see if we can find. Okay. All right, we should be right back, folks. Got about 6 minutes into the show. Thank you. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. We're just about out of time here. We got about two minutes left into the show, to do the show. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about on the show, we're going to be talking about principals and teachers quitting the Chicago public schools. We've got so many principals and so many teachers that are exiting Chicago, leaving these schools bare because most of them feel that schools will not be opening in fall. They will not have a job because, I mean, I'm going to say this. I don't blame them. I mean, if you're not sure that you're going to have a job next fall because of the budget stalemate, because there's no budget, you know, there's no funding for the schools. I would, if I was a teacher or principal, I would, with my skills and my experience and my longevity in this, in the education industry, I would quit also. I would do it also. But we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Principals and teachers quitting Chicago public schools. I hope you join me then. And it's been great. The day has been dedicated to Orlando. And we're going to hit on that again tomorrow, probably. And I want to say thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for understanding. Someone just said 60 seconds in my ear. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show and all your acknowledgments, whether it's positive or negative. I do get negative feedback sometimes, but I always try to learn from it. So thank you even for that. All right. I hope you guys join me tomorrow. Bye-bye.